You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
All right, welcome to the Beer Tour Guy Show, episode 24. I'm your host, Steve Johnson of Motor City Brew Tours, and I got a great guest. He's going to be definitely colorful, and he brought lots of beer. That's all we really need for some day drinking here in the Podcast Detroit studios in beautiful Royal Oak, just off 11 Mile. So please introduce yourself, sir, and let's get rocking.
How's it going? My name's Derek Reitzel. I'm the head brewer over at DBC, Detroit Beer Company, downtown Detroit.
You have a pretty good radio voice, I think. Probably better than mine.
Try.
Well, welcome to the show. So this is your first podcast ever?
First podcast ever.
All your years of being in the beer industry and being a professional person, and you've never been on another podcast. That's wild.
Pretty crazy.
I'm feeling pretty important now that I snag your spot, you know, kind of popping your podcast cherry. That's the power of podcasts. We could say what we want out here.
Right.
So I'll just make sure my mom doesn't listen to the first 5 minutes of the show, maybe.
A little mom warning.
Yeah, a little mom warning right there. So, okay. Well, Derek, wow. So we've known each other for a lot of years, but it was interesting that I was saying before we started recording that your Facebook page is very updated and gave me a lot of your background.
Which is weird because I don't typically go on Facebook anymore, so whatever I've
But it had your employment history on there, which was pretty interesting. So you said, like, worked here, worked there, worked here, worked there. So it's like, oh, okay. Like, in the business world, we might go to LinkedIn and look at all that
bullshit.
Yeah, usually
it's on LinkedIn. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I was bored one night.
You must have been because it was very updated. Another thing I saw while I was on there was you shared the clip you did on Fox 2 on National Beer Day, which was pretty recent. You did a pretty good job on that. You had someone from staff, one of the cooks,
Juan,
right?
Carlos. Yeah, he's the head chef over there. Head cook.
So he was doing some dishes, and you were showing some beer.
Just talking about beer. It was kind of weird. That was the first time I'd been on TV. And
you seem fine.
Well,
you didn't seem twitchy or anything weird that.
I'm usually pretty calm. They didn't say, like, okay, we're starting, or hey, we're going to start asking you questions, or wrap it up. The dude just, like, waving his hands. I'm like, I don't know what that means, but all right, we'll just keep going.
That's like TV speak for something.
Yeah.
Something. They don't give you, like, the footnotes version of any of that stuff. I've been recorded a few times, and I always find it's not as glamorous or what you think it's going to be.
No, it's
always kind of lower key.
And like, the other guys were kind of worried. It was 5 minutes. But I'm like, going back to college and public speaking and whatnot, like 5 minutes goes by pretty fast.
It always does. I think the first time I got on radio somewhere, someone interviewed me. I mean, I think I had 3 minutes. And it was like, I thought it was done in 2 seconds. Right? Ooh, let me finish this. There we go. So what are we cracking open right here?
This is a local 1529. It's our flagship IPA.
Oh, we're kicking it off.
Got to start somewhere.
Sweet. I love it. Okay. Well, let's kind of go back a bit and let's go with kind of when you started in the beer industry. So you grew up here. Went to what? Canton High School?
I went to Canton High School. Grew up in Garden City, Michigan. From there, I went to Eastern Michigan University for graphic design, Bachelor of Fine Art, which is working in my favor right now.
How artistic.
Yeah. I get to do chalkboards.
It's all paying off.
Yeah, it's
the whole 4 years of college.
So glamorous.
Your parents are like, "Oh, well, at least he's doing chalkboard work now."
I'm a starving artist anymore. first job out of college, I was a computer programmer, doing coding for the web, some JavaScript stuff. All of the clients were automotive. So after that big fun automotive crash, they're like, "Thanks for your work."
Yep. Bye.
Later. So then I was overqualified to work pretty much anywhere. My friend was like, "Hey, why don't you go apply at Motor City Brewing Works? You could do their website, you could do their labels, and, you know, essentially short of, you know, street work."
Right.
Yeah. I started at Motor City Brewing Works down in Cass Corridor.
That's when I first met you.
It is. Probably like 2008.
Yeah, I started the business in 2009, but I was kind of becoming a regular right in that time frame.
Yeah, you're coming in a lot. And yeah. I was cleaning kegs and working on the bottling line. Just really worked my way up from there.
That's when they had like the crazy room with they still had the dark room with the old bottler.
Oh, yeah. The B building, the bottling building.
Oh, God.
It's beautiful. Old cast iron labeler that would just like mangle anything you'd put in there. A filler that was old Italian champagne filler. It looked like a UFO. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
I remember when we first started bringing like tour groups in, and they're like, well, if we're running this, when you bring a group in, you can't come in. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
We
gotta
shut it down. Yeah. I mean, glass would just break everywhere. There was no like, you know, there's like a dangling, like, you know, horror movie light in the garage type feel. But it was good.
It looks so different now. Once they got a different bottling line, everything was a little more modern. They opened the room up and there's a garage door and a lot windows and shit. Yeah, they still have that old bottle or the like in their warehouse space. Yeah. Like Dan's, sitting in the corner.
Dan and John still have it. I think there's you know, dreams of utilizing it again. I think it'd be really cool to get up and running, do like, you know, 750 bottles out of it.
I think it'd be cool. It'd be cool if they could figure out a way to just do that in the warehouse space even.
Yeah.
If that's even possible.
Cajun cork stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of neat.
Would be.
So, okay, so you're working there.
Yeah, I worked there for a while. I don't know. I got the bug to leave. My mom was living in Albuquerque at the time.
Ah, okay.
So, jumped ship, went to Albuquerque. I thought I was going to maybe get back into coding, but decided that wasn't really working. So applied at a bunch of places in Albuquerque and ended up getting a job at Kelly's Brew Pub, which is a it's a brew pub. I don't know. It's just like a
thank you for that elaborate description. That was really helpful.
It's a sports bar.
okay, I gotcha.
Yeah. They had a tiny three-barrel system with three-barrel fermenters, and they made 20 beers. But the
made 20 beers.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
But
that.
The rest of the beers were all off these tiny, like, they had 8 20-gallon steam jacketed kettles, all in a row, because they did the same thing that Saugatuck Brewing does, you know, where it's like you know, have a party come in, pick a flavor,
the brew on premise
will show you how to brew. Here's, you know, your ingredients, go get them. And
I've done it before. I did it when Kunin used to have a small system where they did it.
It was just funny. One day, I swear, like, I came in and there's a Saugatuck Brewing card on the I tell Barry Johnson all the time this. I'm like, there was a Saugatuck Brewing card.
One of the founders of Saugatuck, for folks who don't know that.
Sorry.
Yeah. That's all right.
One of the founders. But
not related to Steve Johnson, the host of the Beer Tour Guy show.
I don't know. Record. I don't know either.
He's not. Just,
okay.
You know.
Cool.
Okay. Anyway, you saw his card from Saugatuck.
Yeah, so I saw his card, and you know, I had no clue at that time that Saugatuck had the same thing. But I guess there's only a couple in the U.S. So, I got to, you know, teach, quote unquote, teach people how to brew. So that was all right. Was there for about 3 months. Then applied for a job in Salt Lake. Started working at Bohemian Brewery in Salt Lake, or it's actually Midvale, Utah, which is south of Salt Lake.
Okay.
And that's all Czech lagers. It's a pretty cool spot.
I never heard of them before.
Really?
It's just I know what a Czech is. I know what kind of beer that is, but I mean, that's not what I meant.
It was actually pretty interesting. It was a specific mechanic system. We had two kettles. It's 10 barrels a piece. Every single beer out of there was double decoction mashing, which is, you know, pretty unheard of these days.
Very.
So it's pretty fun.
So how long were you there?
I was there, I think, almost 2 years.
Oh,
year and
okay.
a half. Year
okay.
and a half. If my mind serves me right.
If your mind serves you right, you tell me. I'm not going to know the difference. So.
Yeah, I know. Say, let's go with a year and a half. But, it was beautiful out there.
Seems like a beautiful part of the country. It's a part of the country I've never really done much travel in.
Yeah, it was cool. Pretty good beer scene out there, honestly. A lot of people were like, oh, it's Utah, like, it's not going to have, like, you know, high percentage beers. And it's true. At the time, I'm pretty sure laws have changed now, but at the time, you couldn't brew a beer that was over 4% and have it on draft.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So some of those kind of post-prohibition era laws.
Yeah, it was kind of strange. If you wanted it above 4%, it had to be, like, canned or bottled, but then it was taxed a little bit higher.
Right. Everything's taxes.
Yeah. But that was cool. I mean, just brewed a ton of lagers, which obviously requires a ton of tanks.
Yeah.
This was like the length of a football field.
So, what else? So, like, what was your lifestyle like living out there then? Were you outdoor all the time?
I mean, at that point.
First being in Michigan, that we're not outdoorsy here. There, no, it's all the time.
No, it was completely all the time. Most of the year when it wasn't snowing, you know, I was riding my bike to work. I was living at the foothills. So I actually got my road bike up to 50 miles an hour going down to work, which is, I mean, I had to blow past two stop signs, but.
Well, we won't talk about that part of it, though. Just for folks out there, you should stop at stop signs.
You should always stop at stop signs.
Yeah, there we go.
And wear your helmet.
Yep, wear a helmet. And, look both ways.
Look both ways. Have lights on.
So you can bike to work. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's a big plus right there.
Bike to work. Riding home was not as fun. It was like it was like over 1,000-foot incline.
Holy crap.
But yeah, bike to work, brew beer, take a couple cans home, ride home. You know, like I said, if it was snowing out. Will, this is for you, but, the manager over there, he was also, working at, Mount Brighton, which is not like the Mount Brighton in Michigan, but an actual bigger, ski resort.
A real mountain, you mean?
Yeah.
Not a fake mountain.
So he, you know, let me come up. He's like, oh, just throw a six pack to the lifty and.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, dude.
That's so cool.
I miss it, but, yeah. Utah's great.
Wow. So a couple years out there.
And then the brewer over at that was brewing at Motor City Brewing Works had left, and I was in contact with them. Ended up moving back home, getting a job back at Motor City Brewing Works for, I think, 2 years, just running like kind of like management of the brew house, I guess.
Dealing with
like
tour guide bus coming in right in a while with effed up groups occasionally.
Yeah, getting people their kegs, the brewing, brew schedule, all that. You know, that was my first little taste of it. So
that's a lot of work, though. I know how they operate.
It's a lot of work.
They need someone doing that. Yeah. They don't always have someone doing all that. So
it's ebb and flow.
Yeah, totally, right? It's the nature of small businesses. And I think the average customer doesn't always pick up on that.
Right.
There's a lot of background.
There's a lot going on. I mean, I don't know. I always tell everybody, I'm like, you got to be like, you know, a scientist, plumber, electrician, manager, event coordinator.
Yeah.
Brewer.
I'm always excited when I deal with a brewery and it's not just the owner that I deal with. It's like they have someone and that's like their job is to focus on like that thing that I'm trying to get confirmed.
Yes.
Because it makes my life a lot easier. Because the owner, he's balancing like 100 things in his brain and he may say, yeah, that's cool, man. Yeah. And then you show up.
I'm guilty. Like, I'm guilty of it. It's
all good. And I totally like roll with the flow. You know, 10 years in, this is 10 years for me doing this.
Yeah.
10 years in, I totally get all those things now. Oh, yeah. Like, it makes me approach people a little differently and maybe not be such a dick about it at times, you know, which at first I'm sure I probably was and didn't understand that. You know what I mean? And now I understand a lot more because I do everything. So I relate, right?
Yeah.
Whenever you get a position where you can do lots of different steps.
Yeah, multifaceted.
One, it must keep it more interesting.
It does. But sometimes you just can't shut it off. So that's a thing too.
Yeah. I was bored last night. So then I jumped in my office, worked for 2 hours.
Oh, nice.
But I was able to pull into your Facebook profile and get all this background shit. So
I got to change that.
Know, yeah. I keep saying that. I don't know why. Anyway. Okay. So you're back at Motor City Brew Works. You're back in the D.
Yep.
So you moved back here. And then where did you kind of – were you living downtown at that point?
At that point, I think I was living in like the Midtown Cass Corridor area. And then
when you could like still afford to?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, when you could still afford to.
Yeah.
I think my rent was like – 250 or 300.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
How'd you like to get that there today?
Oh my gosh.
Like, oh, it's only 2,500. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
I just saw a post and was talking about a developer working on a new project in Midtown. And it was saying starting from 550 for like these condos. And I thought, 550? What the fuck?
Dude.
And then it said up to 750, right?
Right. So
and like, they weren't big. It was just a new project.
No, like the
– who are those people buying those?
I don't know, man. I have no clue.
Like I've lived in Chicago, and I lived in a trendy area of Chicago that got like gentrified basically. So like when I lived there, I had a crappy little apartment that I paid – this was in like 2000 – like 1998 to 2003, right?
Right.
And I had a two-bedroom first floor in Bucktown area, which is now real trendy.
Yeah, super trendy.
But then wasn't quite that, right? Yeah. And back then it was, what was it? It was $925 plus another $75 to rent the garage, one Shut stall up. Next door. So think about it. I was paying a grand for a two-bedroom.
Yeah.
But that was in like 98, right? Like today I couldn't do that. But no. It's a lot of it was a lot of money to me then for sure.
For sure.
And I had a decent job and I had like a sales job of a company car and stuff. But even then,
yeah.
You know, even with all that, I was like, wow, that's a lot of money. Like all my friends had roommates and it was rare that I didn't, but I worked out of my home. So I kind of needed that.
Yeah.
Right. Like today I look at like Midtown's that example today of that. Like I couldn't move into Midtown.
Well, even a year and a half. I mean, I've been at my new spot in Hamtramck for a year and a half. But before that, I was living, you know, a street away from where I had lived where it was like 300. So
oh, really? Okay. Yeah, so you were able to do that up till very recently.
Well, I mean, I was paying $500 a month, but I left because the building owner was too old and sold it to some kid from Birmingham and tripled the rent. So
oh, just tripled just it. It's no big just, deal.
Just $1,500. No problem.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
I'm like, are you serious?
So then anyone who was in there is like, yeah, I'm gone.
Well, I think all the people that were in there are kind of like grandfathered or grandpersoned in there. If you want.
I think that's how the building I lived in Chicago was like that, too. I mean, that guy was like, he could have sold that building, and I think it's still there the way it is, but it was such a killer location. Like, I look at that now and think, even at what I was paying then, which was a lot of money, still.
Well, they built all these, like, single-family homes across the street that are, like, starting from the low 400s. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Right? It's just a different world than that. And I just keep thinking, are we getting that many people moving into Detroit? This is like a whole other show conversation, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a different.
I don't want to go down total rabbit hole. Yeah. Anyway, so
I think you left off.
Motor City Brewworks.
Motor City Brewing Works. And then I get a call from my buddy Logan, who was brewing. Mm. Let me just preface this. I've known Logan and my other friend Hollis for I don't know how many years at this point. So we all went to Eastern together. We all like homebrewed together.
Okay, so at least college time.
Yeah, it's college. And he had been working at Arbor Brewing Company, or you know,
you said that name, and I'm like, that name sounds super familiar to me.
Or Corner Breweries, where
I remember Logan. Yeah, he gave me tours a few times when he was still at Corner before he went to
India. Yeah, so he went over to India to Bangalore. To help open up the Arbor Brewing in Bangalore, as well as my buddy Hollis. And he calls me one day and is like, hey, like, I got this other guy. He's starting a brewery. He needs an American brewer. I don't know anybody else that would, like, just go other than you. He's like, I negotiated everything for you, so just hit him up and just go from there. So I did it. It was definitely a bit scary. I didn't know what I was getting myself into.
Yeah, I'd say so. What an interesting opportunity, but
it was definitely
halfway around the world.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting opportunity. I've seen a lot. But yeah, it was crazy. I ended up opening up two brew pubs in Bangalore, India.
Wow. But Bangalore, India is like a huge city, correct?
Yeah. There was like something like 12 million, 11 million people.
That's so messed up.
Yeah. It's like the IT capital. So
right.
It was
I think I got a call the other day.
Going from Detroit.
I think I got a call from my AdWords rep the other day for Google.
Yeah.
And it was out of India. I swear he said he's in Bangalore, India.
Probably. I mean,
and it doesn't make a difference to me. He's my service guy and whatever, but he was so friendly.
One of the breweries I opened up there, like the bigger one, it was actually in front of the biggest IT like company building in the city.
Wow.
So if I didn't leave the brewery before 5 when they got out, it would take me an extra like 2-3 hours to get home.
That's crazy. Yeah. 'Cause just the amount of people.
Right. And coming I was probably in like, you know, 5 kilometers from my house.
Oh my gosh.
So
that is messed up. Yeah. So did you just go over yourself or did you have anyone with you?
No, it was just me.
Okay. Yeah. Wild. Oh my gosh.
Pretty nuts. Total mind. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. This was something by the way, I didn't know any of this.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like,
amazing.
Brewing craft beer in a, I guess, technically a third world country. It has, like, you know, water shortage issues, clean water issues. A lot of people can't get things. So
how were you able to source ingredients and like how were your resources, I guess, then? Since you're saying all those things exist, all those became problems?
No. I mean, the water, we had an RO or reverse osmosis plant.
Okay.
Essentially with two giant cisterns up on the roof.
Wow.
Okay. I only had an issue once was I came in to brew. My assistant was like, we can't brew. I was like, why? He's like, there's no water. I'm like, why is there no water? Oh, somebody left the faucet on in the kitchen overnight.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, that would be like a huge deal. Okay.
But, yeah, it was very interesting getting ingredients over there because everything has to go through customs. I think the first shipment we got of – so what – all the breweries did was they all kind of like put in what they wanted on this order. We just do like a big order.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Like a co-op almost.
Like a co-op. So we essentially got like a shipping container. Whoever was the, I don't know, customs guy at the time, you know, cut open a bag, stuck his hand in, took it to the lab. And I guess they found something on it that they didn't like, so they ended up burning the whole shipment.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, which is nuts.
Things you weren't dealing with in the U.S.
No. And, like, all the bags of hops we got, they would poke tiny little holes in there. But it's not big enough to, like, see anything in there. It just, like, took the vacuum pressure out of it. I was like, why?
So then you would have like stale hop issues, yeah. Right? It wouldn't be as fresh.
It wouldn't be as fresh.
Man, it's pelletized.
Like, yeah. I mean, we'd still use it as quickly as we got it, but it was just like, why? I don't understand why.
That's stuff you never could have thought of.
No.
Until you were in that scenario.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a crazy experience just making all these different beers, and especially like as an outsider, not knowing anything about India. Not knowing anything about their culture.
Did you like Indian food?
Oh, I love Indian food.
Okay.
I love it.
Well, you had that going for you.
Yep. Turns out they really like beer.
So were there certain styles then in India that kind of came across better?
Yeah, like a hef, you know, a triple. Typically, I would say a little on the sweeter side, you know,
okay.
More malty.
Not quite as hop-headish?
Not really. It's getting there. But not quite as hop-headish. Definitely like the expats or anybody visiting, you know, they'll go for that. Anything high ABV.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So opposite of what I would think.
Yeah.
I think it'd be low ABV because that's what they
right.
saw.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
But because it was a novelty, maybe the high ABV thing.
The high ABV, yeah.
Maybe we were
you
like.
You can do IPAs, but it wasn't so much like, you know, American IPA where it's like. You know,
like an English style IPA where it's more muted.
Yeah.
I don't know. Muted's not the right word.
Fruity, they like.
Okay. Wow. How interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's kind of crazy.
Has that continued to flourish in India?
Yeah, I believe so. I think that they're actually like getting way, way more popular. Yeah, it's a big thing, man.
So, okay. So how long, you said you were over there about 2 years?
No.
That's my answer now to everything.
Yeah,
it was 2 years,
two
right?
Years. I don't know. No. My contract was for a year with option of two. At that point, I was just over it, just with dealing with all the excise officers, and there was a lot to deal with.
It was a lot more than you just brewing beer.
It's
and
a lot more than
in
just
India.
Brewing beer and
yeah.
exploring India.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had a great time. Learned a lot. Learned a lot about. Definitely the culture, new ingredients I can use. I picked up a lot that I can bring back. Yeah, it was nuts. And
wow,
so,
what an interesting resume builder. That must yes. blow people's minds when
yeah,
you
a lot of people are like,
to
Indiana?
Them.
I'm like, no.
No, India.
No, not that one.
not that one, right?
Yeah, from there, I moved back. But prior to me moving back, I had contacted my buddy Bobby. Who also worked at Bohemian in Salt Lake. And he was working at Ten Barrel Brewing out in Bend, Oregon at the time. And they were saying that they needed a brewer. So came back and just bounce over the bend.
Wow.
Was a production brewer for a year or so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and that's a whole separate story.
Not
all of which we have to go through on this episode, but yeah. How interesting of working for someone that then got acquired by Anheuser-Busch InBev.
Yeah, that happened.
It just happened, yeah. Right? It just happened.
It was good.
So they were did you like the beer they had going on there? Were you excited?
I was definitely excited.
They're a brand I have to admit, I never heard of them until it came on the radar that they were purchased by Anheuser-Busch InBev. And I was like, what's this?
Where'd they come from? It was a huge deal. Like everybody
Because they were so much smaller, correct?
Yeah, it was really the big deal. It was like a local.
People thought that can't happen.
Yeah, people thought like everything was going to change. It's like, no, like I'm still making the beer. The beer's not changing.
I think a lot of times people have a hard time with that when the big arch enemies come in and buy these brewers. They just think, oh, screw them. Well, wait a minute. If your buddy was working there before, unless he automatically lost his job, like he's still there now.
Right. And if anything, it's just better. Now that company has like more money or funds to play with, you know, like we can try new things, get more hops, get whatever, you know.
Sure.
Technology.
That is a way to look at it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was kind of crazy, like the backlash off the bat, and then it like subsided, and then a little bit later, Elysian got bought by AB, and there was just like crickets. I was like, what? All right,
it should have been even more for them, I think.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Like I was noticing at the a party store right by my house the other day. Yeah, feel free to crack another one. Whatever you say. Let's do that one. Sure. So what was that one you said? SummerSlam.
It's our strawberry kettle sour.
Oh, that's all. Just a strawberry kettle sour. Just say, man, I've been digging kettle sours.
I'm going to finish up my newest kettle sour tomorrow.
Have you done much that have been soured or kettle sours in this case before?
No.
We'll jump back into this beer. We'll get back into this conversation in a second, but we'll talk about this beer for a moment.
Yeah, I'd say the only other sour I helped brew was at Tenborough.
Okay. Ooh, wow, I like that. That's nice.
Yeah, pretty soft.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like smacking me or anything.
No, I would say it's just like a slight tart.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are like, I don't want it to be too sour. But
I think that's a trend for sure, isn't it? That people want to stick their toe in the water for sours and they don't want it to be so overwhelming because they're new to it.
Yeah, I mean, I also don't want to, strip the enamel off her teeth or, you know, use any crazy bacterial stuff in the, you know, if I end up brewing like an actual sour.
So for the five people that are listening to the show right now, give them like a an overview then of the difference between a kettle sour and like a straight up. I work for Jolly Pumpkin and I do sours using
Brettanomyces and all that.
That big Brett word.
So the kettle sour, for all intents and purposes, you sour it in the kettle. But it's in the kettle because I can therefore boil it afterwards, which will kill anything that would thereby infect the rest of the brewery.
Okay.
Whereas if I did any other sour, it would be in, the fermenter. And who knows? I mean, I don't have a contained area, so I don't want to track it, get it in any of the serving lines, any of the bright tanks, because at that point, then we're just a sour brewery.
Right. So. I think a lot of people don't get that. And I always try to explain it because I take people into Jolly Pumpkin in Midtown. So then the conversation has to come up about, well, what's a sour? I don't know.
Well, any of this. And where they brew, they have a separate sour side.
And that's what I always explain to people.
And then there's a giant partition, and then they have a non-sour side.
That's exactly how I describe it, too. I go, the people on the sour side and the people on the other side, which is mainly the North Peak stuff. They're not walking between those places, or there's like a decontamination area, right? Like you're not just
– it's like sci-fi. You get like sprayed down.
Yeah, totally, right? It's all like that. It's got to be because that's why Jolly Pumpkin is what they are.
Right.
So I just ran into someone from Jolly Pumpkin at Meijer the other day that was doing a call on there. Yeah. So – and he knew me and you probably know him. Oh, my God. I'm drawing a blank on his name. Hopefully he's not listening. Hopefully he's not one of the five people listening to this right now.
Yeah.
But he's like a big wig for them, like marketing sales guy, like their head guy of everything.
Oh, okay.
Shit. He worked for a distributor.
Mm.
Oh, my God. Totally drawn a blank.
I don't know, doesn't matter.
Cool dude. I can picture him. He wears glasses.
Hey, cool guy.
Yeah. Anyway, he was funny. He saw me, and my little sideline job is I work for Shipt occasionally during the week. You know what Shipt is?
Yeah, it's
like Uber for grocery shopping.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, so like I work out of that Meijer, and then there's a Target over there. Target actually owns Shipt.
I have a couple friends who do the Shipt.
Yeah, it's a nice little sideline gig, right? But I didn't have my hat on or the totally ugly green shirt. So it just looked like I was grocery shopping, right? Yeah. But I was totally at the end of it, and I had all this crap in a cart that I wouldn't have normally bought, right?
Yeah, like two carts full of pizza rolls.
Well, it wasn't quite as ridiculous as that, although that stuff happens, and I'm sure people look at you like, what the fuck are you doing, you know? And I'm like, it's not for me.
I'm prepping for tonight, man.
I am shopping for someone else. But he didn't know any of that. He just said, hey, how you doing? I'm like, hey, it's my Meijer store. I'm shopping. And I didn't lie. Like, that wasn't wrong.
Yeah.
But – it was funny. And then I just sat there and he was showing some other dude around and then we were just shooting the shit. And, you know, North Peak recently like has come out with, I've seen that like Diabolicals in cans and they're selling 15 pack cans of that now.
No, I haven't seen that.
In like Meijer. Meijer's the only place I saw it at, but I'm sure they're pushing it in bigger accounts, right?
Yeah, the non-party
store stuff.
I'm sure they would.
So anyway, okay, Jolly Pumpkin, back to Kettle Sours. That's a good explanation of Kettle Sours. So I think a lot of people are seeing Kettle Sours come out now and I don't think they know what that difference is between the high-end stuff that Jolly Pumpkin is versus the easier way to – I don't want to say easier. I don't know if easier is the right way to say it.
But higher end and then easier way?
Yeah, I don't know. I think all that came out completely not the way I meant to say. I am enjoying this and that's not really –
we do lowbrow beer here.
Yeah, that's not really what I meant.
It's okay. But, I'll take it.
I mean, the process of having to – you know, in the case of Jolly Pumpkin, the crazy decam
– yeah, there's a – they're just
– oak sitting, barrels.
Yeah, aged. They're sitting on theirs and fooders. You know, they have a whole room of that.
Yeah. That's not what most breweries can do. They don't have resources or the space or whatever to do that.
Yeah, or the time.
Right. Just like what you were saying. I mean, if you were pumping this stuff through all your lines, you'd be fucking all that up.
Yeah, it'd be terrible.
I think your ownership would not be too cool about that.
No.
I dig this, though.
Thanks.
Is this, so you've just put this on recently, or have you put this some other Kettle Sours on?
This is actually the last keg of it. I'm saving a keg for the Summer Beer Fest.
Cool.
But I will be the... Kettle Sour I brewed yesterday, which I'll finish tomorrow, will be grapefruit lime. I made it last year, or sorry, for the October Beer Fest. It was at 6040 Radler.
Yeah, yeah.
So okay. It's a, you know, Faygo flavor, 6040, which is a...
Yep.
It's like the local version of Squirt.
I think I tried that at the Fall Beer Festival.
Yeah.
That sounds... I tried to try all of them that were done with the Detroit Beer
Experiment. I got a lot of good, feedback on it. The most feedback I got was this would be great in the summer.
Yeah.
And I was like, cool. I know, but we haven't.
But this is when the project was
for Detroit Beer Experiment.
You know, I think a lot of people said that about some of the interpretations that came out. You know, I had a couple different of the Red Pop or Rock and Rye ones.
Yeah.
And like I think I had Batch, Brew Detroit, Eastern Markets, and probably Traffic Jams.
Right on.
Yeah, and then I'm pretty sure I had yours at the festival. I don't know. That's a lot to remember.
But if not, you can have it, I don't know.
How fun.
2 weeks.
Have you guys had meetings yet about what you're going to do for this year?
Oh, yeah.
Is that too early?
Yeah, we've had tons of meetings.
Yeah?
No.
Of course not. Yeah.
No.
You give me that look like, what are you talking about?
I mean, I signed up. I still have to submit my beer list. But yeah, I know what I'm doing.
Okay. No, that's – no, wait, you misunderstood. I mean, for the Detroit Beer Experiment.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Summer Beer Fest.
I hope you've signed up for the Summer Beer Fest, yeah.
No, I actually haven't heard anything from
I don't know when you guys normally start getting together about that.
Now would be a good time, but I doubt that will happen.
That would make a lot of sense.
I might actually hit up everybody after this and see where we're at.
So my plan would be to do I'm calling it a super brewery bus tour, and I'm going to do it the weekend before the Fall Beer Fest.
Okay.
On that Saturday, and I'm going to hit up all you guys in one glorious day, hoping that you guys meet and then do something again like that, and then I can like hit all these breweries to like do that, including your brewery.
There was I don't know.
Well, hopefully that happens and we'll get back to it. So, okay. So now 10 Barrel. You eventually leave 10 Barrel. You come back here to Michigan.
Still doing this.
We are still doing this because it's a big resume.
Oh my gosh.
And this is an hour show. So,
yeah, we got time.
And I run the show, so I could do whatever the fuck
I want.
You
can do whatever the fuck you want.
That's right.
So, yeah, 10 Barrel. Unfortunately, I had to leave 10 Barrel. I couldn't afford to live in Bend. But no big deal.
Yeah, talking about high rent.
Yeah, high rent, man. Couldn't find anywhere to live. So I ended up moving back to Detroit. I was with no job lined up or nothing. Found like three in a day.
That's really funny. Okay.
Yeah, I think I ended up, I was kegging beers over at Brew Detroit for a day, but just like, just did that for a day. And then
Sounds like a beer money job. You
yeah.
know?
And then got a job with Craftwork Brewing Systems, which is a local beer or brew house and tank manufacturer. It's about an hour north.
Lake Orion.
So I got a job there. And had that for about 2 years. Where I was the, I don't know, I'm going to say head of quality control, logistics, and
that's what it said online.
And the guy who gets shit done. How about that?
The guy who gets shit done. That's a cool title.
Yeah.
So very different, right?
Yeah.
A little more. I don't want to say professional. That makes it sound like
it
you
was
weren't
different.
Professional, but it just different.
It felt like it fit for a while, just because like I had worked on so many different brew systems. You know, that I would have like good input, like what this should. This
you had
should
a lot of insight for
this
sure.
This should work. This won't work. Like, I don't think this is good. Typically, I would, you know, deal with a customer. They would come in when their, you know, brew house is ready. I would do what they call a water brew with them, which is essentially just doing like a quick brew that you're just going to push water through the system. Just show them how to use all the valves, the sparges, the what it pumps, everything. Not that there's multiple sparges, but for the five people that are listening.
Yeah, I don't want some beer nerd coming to us like, there's not multiple yeah. sparges, man. What's up with this show?
This
You're not accurate.
Knows nothing. yeah, so I did that for a while. You know, it was in the field troubleshooting for a lot of breweries. Like somebody had some issues, I would drive out and help them change a pump.
So you were like a savior for a lot of breweries then in that respect.
I hope so. Yeah, so I did that for a while. Got kind of burnt out with the whole, like, you know, email stuff.
Administrative stuff?
It
seems like you'd have a ton of that with a job like
it's
that.
It's pretty stressful.
I remember running into you at the Guild Conference. And we were in the vendor area.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I was thinking about that today. I'm like,
yeah,
I remember
right.
talking to you because you had that gig.
I wasn't even there for like the conference. I was just like vendor area.
But you were in the vendor. And that was probably the first year they really had a huge vendor area. Now they're like in freaking Wing Stadium or something.
Oh, yeah.
It's a bigger ordeal even than that.
Dude, last year we went. That was crazy big. And they're like, oh yeah, there's free curling if you want to curl.
Who would have thought?
Of course I want to curl.
Why wouldn't you?
I don't know. Savages.
So you did that for a couple years.
And then former brewer at Detroit Beer Company sent me something saying that he was leaving to go start his own brewery, Justin. And that, you know, I should apply.
Which he's still working on, by the way.
Yeah, he's still working on it. I think they're going to be opening shortly, hopefully.
Hopefully, right?
Rosedale
Park?
Yeah.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Rosedale Bistro and Grill. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, it'd be awesome, I'm sure. Okay, anyway, so he reaches out to you, got an opening.
He reached out to me, got an opening. I was like, well, yeah, I could apply. But kind of just like sat on it for a while and woke up hungover. My girlfriend's like, you should fucking apply. So I just applied and, you know, got a couple.
I always apply for jobs when I'm hungover.
Got a couple interviews. And the rest is history. Here we are.
Wow. So a couple years in almost on that.
Yeah.
So Detroit Brewing Company for folks who don't know, started in 2003, but Originally, it was part of the beer companies, and it was Rochester Mills, Royal Oak Brewery, and Detroit Beer Co. Eventually, those two partners, Mike and Drew, kind of split off in their own different directions, and Drew kept Royal Oak Brewery and Detroit Beer Co. and now Lockhart's Barbecue.
Correct.
And that's the side you're on. And then Mike Plez, the other half, Rochester Mills Beer Company and a production brewery, and at one point a healthy restaurant in downtown Rochester that no longer exists, whose name I can't think of, something with spirits, Mind Body Spirits.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was in downtown for a while. Anyway, yeah, so here you are at a place that has two locations, but you're at the DBC part of it, and Rob is out in Royal Oak, of course, down the road from us now.
Right.
I've had Jeremy on the show before.
Jeremy is a wonderful human being.
So he had a lot of – he had a pretty interesting background too, although now you kind of definitely one-up that with India. So I can't really say he's got that on you. That's for sure. Well, right?
No.
He's got a crazier beard.
He does have a crazier beard. He's currently working his butt off doing some renovations over at Royal Oak.
Yeah. Right now. Today I think is the opening.
Really?
At like 6 p.m. or something?
No.
Yeah, man. I'm all over Facebook.
Maybe I'll stop up there after this.
That's not a bad idea. I should be doing that after this
show. Should be.
Although I think it's not till like 5 or 6 p.m.
Well, I mean.
But with your kind of, you know, because you are who you are, you could just walk in
just
there.
Just confidence walk it.
Yeah.
Totally. I'm supposed to be here.
Totally. I mean, I'm Mug Club whatever number. I mean, I should be able to just walk in there. But what? No one cares about that. So, okay. So you're down at DBC. And DBC is a unique property in the fact that it's a multi-story kind of older building.
Yep.
And it's in the heart across from the Opera House, Kitty Corner, Comerica, and all that shit. A lot of action going on around there. A lot of things opened.
Yeah, a lot of things going on. A couple new hotels just opened up.
I picked up people at Shinola recently. Shinola, and then you got Siren.
Siren. Metropolitan buildings open up again.
That's right. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a lot. We're getting a lot of traffic. So, yeah, it got us.
Does that change the mix of people, you think, coming in there then?
It changes the mix of people. The Mug Clubbers, we're getting a few more. But, yeah, I mean, it's just, like, it's a wide, wide range. And, like, all the different, like, conventions that go on, who knows? I mean, every day there's something completely different going on. So,
yeah. I mean, I picked up a group of 10 at the Shinola Hotel 2 weeks ago, and I did a real fun, like, Monday afternoon tour, and all these people have flown in from all over the world. Like,
yeah,
a couple people from Germany, a couple people from London, a couple West Coast folks, some East Coast folks, a couple people that were local. It was fun.
It was
just like walking in Shinola Hotel. I'm like, where are all these people from? Like, yeah. It's so weird. It's still, even though like you and I have come around as all this has kind of happened here,
right?
It still blows my mind at times to. Right. Where did all these people come from?
I'm used to like riding my bike and having like no traffic in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
Now it's like people, there's tons of traffic and no one's paying attention to anything but their cell phones.
Yeah.
So
yeah, like different problems.
Wear your helmets.
Please. Like I'm so different biking in the city now than I used to be.
I'm
very careful. Besides the fact that we got three scooter companies with shit flying around with those all the time, right? People don't know. They're going the wrong way on bike lanes.
They don't know.
And you try to be cool about it, but what can you do? You know? So how is that? So now you live in Hamtramck, right?
Yep.
Which is another totally changing area.
Totally changing. Heard there's going to be two breweries opening up there.
So I didn't know that. Oh, that's interesting. Thank you.
I didn't know that either.
Very interesting. What are we pouring right here?
This would be the Tangerine Speedo.
Sweet. What a great name.
Yeah. It's a juicy
IPA.
IPA.
A juicy lactose IPA.
Lactose IPA.
Okay.
It's great for the summer.
Yeah.
I suggest listening to the song Tangerine Speedo by Caviar while drinking it.
Well, if this was I just got right into the microphone there. If this was a better show, I could like pull up that clip because I'd have some tech producer doing that, because it's just you and I and we're next to a laptop right now. That's not really what's going to happen.
No.
But everyone else at home, like in another window on your computer browser, pull up that song.
Yeah.
Right? Or talk to your smart speaker in your house that's probably right
next
to you.
Ask your smart speaker for Tangerine Speedo by Caviar.
See, I told you had a good radio voice.
That's not what they said in high school. They wouldn't let me be on the radio.
Man, they didn't know what they were talking about, though.
It's a bunch of bullshit.
Whatever. Look at you now. You're day drinking, right?
Yeah.
right there, you're ahead. Wow, that is wild. After having the kettle sour, that's a little switch up on my palate.
Yeah, it's a little switch up.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. I'm kind of hit or miss with these styles. Like, I can't decide if I like them at times or
not. Yeah, honestly.
And yours tastes fine. Like, I'm enjoying it.
Thanks.
But I feel like I don't totally always know what I should be tasting.
Yeah, there's no...
Is that me being confused?
I think that's just you.
Yeah, you think so?
I don't know.
Like, I don't know anything about beer?
Maybe it's me, too. It's a big hit.
Is this your first time doing this?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
You've been in a lot of Speedos is what you're telling me.
I mean,
with that resume, you must have... Is that a thing in India?
Yeah, it is a thing. I mean, I own a Speedo. There's nothing wrong with it. Not like a crazy banana hammock one, but like...
Okay.
Like, you know.
Luckily, this is a podcast and no one has to see video in here because they get really inappropriate quickly.
But yeah, that's a thing. Yeah, next time I brew this, I'm definitely not going to be doing the... I'm just kind of tired of lactose, man.
I think it probably doesn't even need the lactose.
It doesn't. But people...
But someone decided that, didn't they?
Someone decided that.
Like a year and a half ago, maybe, or a year ago?
And someone decided it, and they all love it.
Yeah, and then they jumped on it.
I think it's just like the, I don't know.
Flavor of the moment?
Flavor of the moment. The consumer is enjoying it, so.
Kind of like the whole peanut butter stout thing that everyone keeps going crazy for, which.
I still won't do it.
But. I had a free Saturday last Saturday, so I drove out. This is going to sound weird, but maybe not. I drove out to Jackson.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool.
Whatever, right? They got beer. And it was a biking and beer like fun day. My wife was out of town, so like I'd do whatever I wanted. So I biked out to Jackson. I biked the Inner Urban Trail in Jackson, and that connected to the Falling Waters Trail. Keep wanting to say Falling Down Trail. Falling Waters Trail, not the Falling Down Trail. Falling Waters Trail, took it. I was planning to bike all the way to Albion and hit the brewery there and then bike back into Jackson.
Okay.
But we had a crazy storm coming in.
Yeah.
So I was playing like Rush. Yeah. So like I made it to the town of Concord and then I came back. But this Falling Waters Trail was sweet. It was totally out in the sticks, all paved, wide, just nice. And I was just nice to like be solo and not have like 20 people behind me on a tour.
Right, it's
and
just all yourself.
Yeah.
In like the wilderness.
Yeah. Like a buddy's like, oh, you want me to come out and hang out? I'm like, no. Like, I really just want to go bike. And then I want to go to a couple breweries afterward. Yeah. And then I'll probably crash at a hotel. And then I had a buddy eventually meet up with me later. But anyway, that's totally what I did. So I do the ride. I did like, I don't think I did 27 miles. Got back to this really small brewery in Jackson. It was called Iron Bark Brewing Company.
Okay.
It wasn't too far from where the Inner Urban Trail kind of hit in Jackson, the end of this Falling Waters Trail. I got in there, and then like 20 minutes later, just totally unleashes like hell rain.
Just
you know?
The biggest downpour.
Yeah, ever. It was crazy.
Those are fun.
Like I'm like, I'm having a pint, and then I'm moving on. Like that was the whole plan, right? And I get in there, and there's a couple of regulars in there. You know, it's not busy at that time of day. And we're having fun talking. And then the whole place just gets, like, totally dark.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh, fuck. You know, and this guy looks at the writers like, oh, yeah. You know, and it just unleashes. And I'm like, all right, I think I'm having another beer. And then I had a good time in there. It's just a small place. Like, I think they had a 3-barrel.
Okay.
They had a 3-barrel. But it was small.
Yeah.
But it was cool, man. I thought all the beer was fine. I think they haven't been open not even 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So whatever. It was in a residential area. You would have had to know it.
Yeah.
And then from there, eventually I went to Grand River Brewing, which is a little more well known right in downtown.
Yeah, they got a couple of billboards out there.
Yeah, right? They got like the those like on the green signs that say what's at this exit, they're on one of those.
Yep.
Like that makes them more established.
Way more established.
Yeah, totally. Plus they have like a restaurant.
It's always good.
Yeah. So like keep I popped in there, seats. Had around, and then a buddy like who lived in Battle Creek's like, dude, you're 20 minutes from my house. You know, what the fuck? You know, I thought we were friends. So then he ends up hooking up with me at the third brewery in Jackson that exists called 127 Brewing, which would be another small place. And that was like half mile from the hotel I was going to crash at. And once I realized I was drinking with this guy, I'm like, okay, I'm getting a hotel room. So I end up hooking up with him. We have fun. And then we go to Mason to Bad Brewing. Mason. You ever been to Bad?
I have been to Bad Brewing.
Very cool.
It's actually not Bad Brewing.
It was not bad. You know what the name comes from?
It's his initials or something. Mm.
Wow. Like I thought no one would get that. Thank you. This is the cold brew coffee stout?
Porter.
Porter? Okay.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Okay. Cool. Oh, I could smell it between these two. Holy shit.
Yeah, it's not that. It's actually the first time I've used coffee in a beer.
Wow, is that strong?
Yeah, it's pretty strong.
I'm going to forget what I was talking about.
It's nice. It's only 5%. A little mellow morning.
Ooh, I'm digging that. You know, I'm not even a coffee drinker, but I got into coffee through beer for sure.
It's and pretty, now
I love it. That's mellow.
Yeah.
It doesn't have like a strong bite
nope.
on the end. And you know who also has a strong coffee beer? Ooh, I did it. Okay. Bad Brewing.
Oh, so, Bad Brewing. You brought it back around.
Yeah, look at that. That's totally – it wasn't even in my notes that way.
Yeah.
Right? So Bad Brewing, the name comes from Brian and Danielle. So Brian's the owner, his wife's Danielle.
Yeah.
Right? Anyway, so my buddy and I, we drive out there. It's like all at, I don't know, 25 minutes or something from where we were. So we get out there and we're like, why is the road closed ahead? Well, we hadn't looked at their website. So like twice a year, they do a block party and they close off that road. So they totally had a block party going on.
That's awesome.
Which was super dope, right? So they had like a band playing and they had a couple food trucks and they had cool beer releases, including.
They do have some pretty good food.
A really good coffee brown ale.
Really?
That they had on draft. Yeah, that was probably the second beer I had when I got in there.
Hmm.
Good little list. And it was gorgeous out because the rain had kind of blown through at that point. And it wasn't like it wasn't
cool
real
spot.
Humid. Very cool spot. You know, I haven't been there since they opened up the whole space next door. Have you been there in the larger space?
No, it was like I don't think so.
Yeah, because it was originally a florist that they took over the building. Right. Very small, and he had a really small
like
system.
There was like the lower floor and the upper. It was you just go up a couple steps. It was like 2-3 steps.
Yep, that's it. So now he has the space next door, and then he has outdoor seating behind it.
Okay.
And then in this alleyway, he had that closed off as well for the event. So then he had some beers he was pouring out there, like a couple firkins and stuff.
Hmm.
It's a cool setup. I was very impressed at how it was very compact.
Yeah.
But it was you can see it was all community focused, really cool crowd. It was just one of those days where like it all came together.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wow, I went to like really 4 breweries in this case, hung out with a buddy for a while, got to bike.
Right.
You know, and I'm just like, that's a good weekend.
We stopped there on our we did like my girlfriend and I, Jess, went up to Traverse, you know, hit up all the breweries on the way.
All 85 of those, yep.
Yep, all of them.
All of
honestly,
them.
Honestly, like the one that stood out was Rolling Oak and Grayling. Like that one is in a small.
Oh, interesting. I haven't been in there yet.
Dude, you got to check it out.
It's like a house, right?
It's a small. It used to be an ice house.
Oh, okay.
So it was, you know, the place where they make the, you know, the ice for the trains.
Right. Back in the day.
Yeah. So okay. they got a small system, but they have amazing beers.
Next time I'm up there, I got to get in there. Yeah. I maybe once a year I'm up on that end of town, and last time I just didn't get a chance to get in there. So right in Grayling.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that, right?
It's weird. I usually, like, whenever I go into a brewery, I'm like, all right, let's check out your pale ale. Let's check out your lager. That's what I kind of, like, judge them on.
Because you like to look at base beers.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like that, too.
I mean, if you can do those very well, you'll be fine.
This coffee beer, I have to say, when I smelled it at first, I thought, ooh, it's going to be so strong.
Yeah.
And it's totally not.
It's not.
I'm impressed.
It's weird. My dad's girlfriend refuses to drink anything with carbonation. She took like a tiny sip. She was like, I'll take a 4-pack. I was like, you are shitting me.
No way, yeah. Right? Was this, what's the coffee from?
So the coffee is from Ash Supply. It's a coffee company right next door to DBC on Broadway.
Yeah. Okay.
I believe it's Guatemalan blend.
I was gonna say Guatemalan. I mean, for sure.
Yeah, I figured
because I know nothing about coffee.
Same.
I'm always like, when someone says, "I'm like, oh, that's interesting."
Okay. Ethiopian, Guatemalan,
yeah,
Chilean.
Like I could tell the difference on any of that whatsoever.
Right, I just did 3. Cool.
Sounds good. It sounded real smart when you said it. Right? Are you a big coffee drinker then?
I do drink it black.
You drink it black, straight up.
Straight up. I think I had 40 ounces today.
40 ounces today, right? Damn.
Yeah,
it's
probably
a
cut it back.
Wow. Well, at least it's kept you active on this whole podcast, though, so that's made it a lot easier for me. It hasn't been, like, real awkward or anything yet.
There still is.
Except for the banana hammock thing, but we're going to not talk about that again.
Oh, you'll be fine. Should probably
We're going to have to drink that one off air because that's no joke.
Dude, this is a brutal.
So tell me about that other beer, and then I'm going to have to do a promo for this debrief show because they're dope, and then we'll kind of wrap up our show.
All right. Sounds good.
So tell me about this.
Yeah, I did a little can release over the weekend. Did 12-ounce cans of our bourbon barrel-aged Russian Imperial Stout that aged in Detroit City Distillery bourbon barrel for 6 months.
How cool.
Second use after my English barley wine, so it picked up some of the barley wine notes.
That's a lot of a description to
totally
say.
Totally insane.
So what came out – I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. So what came out different because you'd had the barley wine in there?
It then? Picked up some like the like extra like dried cherry raisins.
Oh, yeah. So how different? I would not normally.
A lot of people say that they're like, "Whoa, do you age this in a wine barrel?" I'm like, "No." So I don't.
I guess the fruit part of the barley wine would make people.
A lot of people think that like I age it on cherries, but it's a very smooth, mellow bourbon to it. So it turned out really nice.
I'll never
be able to make it again.
Never.
Well, I mean, I could. I would just have to make a barley wine. Age a little bit, take it out, then make a Russian Imperial Stout, and then put that back in there.
And that'll take like 8 years. I mean, like that's a process to do that.
It's a fucking process.
Plus, it's expensive to buy barrels in that way.
Yeah.
So how fun to do DCD. So are they regular size barrels for theirs? Or are they the smaller size ones?
No, it is a 50. Yeah,
it is? Okay. 55. I say that because in Royal Oak, we got Motor City Gas, and they use smaller barrels out there. I didn't know if Detroit City Distillery ever used different sizes.
No. I think they're all standard size barrels.
That must make it easier, actually.
I did kind of like the barter system. So like they let me use a barrel, I'll use it, and then give it back to them and then get another one.
Oh, that's cool.
So who knows what they're going to be putting in it. Probably some bourbon. Just keep the circle of life going.
It is kind of... sounds more philosophical when you say it that way.
Sure.
All right. I'm going to pop on a quick little promo. We're going to sit here all quiet while I do this, and then I'll pop us back in, and we'll kind of round out the episode.
Super
here.
Cool.
So we're all going to chill while we're drinking this beer for a second while all I do right. that. Hopefully it'll work right, and I'll F it up.
Hey there,
my name is Seth Russell. Hi everyone, it's Becky Skirmson. I am new to Detroit.
And I've been here my
whole
life.
All right, that's way more professional than our show. So every time I listen to that, I'm like, and also featured on the debrief, Steve Johnson of Motor City Brew Tours, at least
and
a
also,
couple times.
Also.
And some other dude, right?
Sorry.
Yeah. All right, where are we? Where were we? We're still drinking beer here, but we'd like to say that we can promo other shows. So you guys should check out the Debrief. Go to debrief.com, and you can learn more about their weekly podcast. But we're a monthly podcast here on the Beer Tour Guys show. I want to thank the Better on Draft guys for sponsoring this show. They're Woo! Also a weekly. That sounded real important that way, didn't it?
Yeah.
Right? You're getting good on that mic. And those guys are weekly here in the Podcast Detroit Studios in Royal Oak. But I'm monthly, and I'm having a good time here with Derek. We're drinking lots of different beers. My mind's all over the place with these beers right now. We started with a Pilsner.
We went
to an IPA.
IPA.
We're talking about banana hammocks for a while
banana
there.
Banana hammocks. We got strawberry kettle sours. We got tangerine Speedo.
We got a great coffee porter, right? Not stout, but porter.
Yeah.
And we got this crazy bourbon barrel thing we're just staring at right now because I don't know if I'm emotionally ready, but I do want to drink it. And we will get to that. But we're going to kind of wrap up the show here because we went a whole hour. It's that easy to do that, right? When you know what you're doing, and when you have a resume where you've worked at like 25 different places, it kind of makes a show go like super smooth, right?
Yeah, that was actually
not too shabby, right? Like, look at you. You got all kinds of things to say on your first podcast.
Only the first one.
Only the first one. Hopefully many more to come, right? Yeah. So I want to thank you, Derek, for coming on the show today. Any parting words? Any parting philosophies? What could people hope to try at the Summer Beer Fest in Ypsilanti, which they should take my bus, which picks up in Royal Oak, and we'll take you to Summer Beer Fest.
You should come to Summer Beer Fest. I think this one's actually going to be nice out.
It's not going to rain, and it's not going to be hot and humid.
Yes, it'll be perfect temperature, perfect weather, and perfect friendship.
Oh, wow. That makes it sound so special.
It'll be like super special.
So you're going to have a
kettle. I'll have
a kettle sour. You're making me cough.
Yeah, I'll have a kettle sour, maybe two, Pilsner, and something else to drink on a nice summer day.
Yeah, who doesn't want like a bourbon barrel aged Russian Imperial Stout with notes of barley wine, dried cherries in it?
No,
right, that sounds like a great summer
beer. It seems
beer.
Like well, to be honest, a lot of people bring that shit.
Yeah,
so
I'm always
the last thing I want is like a 13% chewy beer.
Aren't you always amazed with though when you see people do that? You look at the list, you're like, dude,
what were you doing?
You trying to make people die and then fall down the river?
Yeah,
maybe, right? That's not good PR for Ypsilanti.
I'm just gonna bring a keg of water for everybody.
No shit.
I can make a non-sports drink beer.
Non-sports drink beer.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I don't know what that is. I just came up with that.
I don't know, but I think we want to leave it with that because it's so insightful. Derek, I want to thank you for coming on the show. If people want to get more information about the brewery you work at, where do they go?
You go to DetroitBeerCo.com or, look on Untappd. Or
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
If
you're down at a Tigers game or any other
Tigers
event,
game,
you should come
in.
Over afterward. I mean, or beforehand and afterward.
Beforehand and afterward, we have a nice little 16-ounce canner. You can take any cans to go. It's cheaper than going into the sports arenas.
I totally agree with that. I want to thank you for coming on the show today. I want to thank you for bringing all these beer samples.
No problem.
So,
my pleasure.
Thanks for giving me your afternoon and let me day drink with you.
No problem.
All right. So next month, I'm going to have Sean from a great little place in Orion Township called Fourth Coast Cider Works that most of you probably never heard of, including Derek, who gave me a weird look when I said that.
It wasn't the weirdest look. It was a side look.
But that's going to be on our next show in July. It's going to be a lot of fun. He's a really cool dude. He likes the bike too, although he likes the mountain bike, and that's definitely something we're going to talk about on the show, and we're going to drink a lot of cool hard cider.
Woo.
So thanks for listening. You can check out our show on MotorCityBrewTours.com, BetterOnDraft.com, PodcastDetroit.com, and all your podcast platforms. So thank you for listening, and enjoy the rest of your day.